In today's news headlines, thousands of women protested as part of the second Women's March of the Year in Washington, D.C. and several U.S. cities, demanding an end to Donald Trump's regime and his nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, and hailing the legacy of the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and more. With messages such as hashtag count on us and everything is on the line, marchers headed to the Supreme Court where they heard speakers. At one point, they collided with anti-abortion protesters openly calling for an overturning of the Roe v. Wade ruling. Speakers from Black Lives Matter drew attention to the ongoing demand for police accountability and also sent a strong message overall that women are voting in massive numbers this election. The Senate Judiciary Committee has set October 22nd for a committee vote for Judge Barrett's nomination to head to the full Senate for a vote. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, moving at lightning speed, has decided that the full Senate will vote on her nomination just a day later. Among the many objections that progressives, liberals, and Democrats have to Barrett's confirmation to the nation's highest court in the midst of an election is that she could be called upon to rule in an election decision as one of her first tasks as justice, and that as a staunch conservative, she would rule in favor of President Trump. Now, a former appeals court judge named J. Michael Luttig wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post citing a 2009 Supreme Court ruling that required a judge to recuse themselves from any decision where there was a perception of possible bias toward a plaintiff or defendant. Americans are surging to the polls to cast their ballots for the November 3rd election, with more than 27 million voters so far taking advantage of early voting rules in various states. The number has shattered previous records, and Democrats are outnumbering Republicans in early voting by about 2-1, strongly indicating greater enthusiasm among liberal voters. In Georgia, early voting has resulted in, quote, a 59.7% increase at the polls and 644% by mail, as per a statement from the Georgia Secretary of State. Florida voters have now begun to cast their ballots in the critical battleground state. According to ABC News, Democrats have cast nearly 470,000 more absentee ballots than Republicans, a shocking turn of events for a state where Republicans typically vote by mail at higher rates than Democrats. But Republicans are expected to show up in increasing numbers in person closer to Election Day. The GOP continues its legal assault on mail-in voting over fears that a full exercise of Democratic rights could cost them political power. A court has now ruled that mail-in ballots received after 8 p.m. on Election Day in Michigan will not be counted. Meanwhile, a new Gallup poll found 77% of voters say this year's election matters more than previous ones. President Donald Trump has been busy denigrating anyone that represents a threat to him and sounding increasingly desperate as the election nears. He spent the last several days at rallies mocking his rival Joe Biden for listening to scientists and bizarrely complaining about low water pressure.
He's going to lock down. This guy wants to lock down. He'll listen to the scientists. It's the shower, it's the sink, and you know the third element in the bathroom. But I don't say it, because every time I say it, they only talk about that one, because it's sort of gross to talk about, right? So I won't talk about the fact that people have to flush their toilet 15 times. Okay, I will not talk about it.
Trump also responded to a rally chant of lock her up aimed at Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer with the words lock them all up.
Lock them all up.
Trump also pouted that if he lost the election, he might have to leave the United States.
Could you imagine if I lose my whole life? What am I going to do? I'm going to say I lost to the worst candidate in the history of politics. I'm not going to feel so good. Maybe I'll have to leave the country. I don't know.
President Trump will debate Joe Biden this Thursday evening in what is the last time that the two will face off against one another. Already, Trump has been attacking the next debate moderator, Kristen Welker of NBC, as, quote, terrible and unfair, when just months earlier his campaign called her an excellent choice as moderator. Trump is now getting into an increasingly tense spat with Dr. Anthony Fauci, considered the most trusted scientific expert in the U.S. on the coronavirus pandemic. Fauci told 60 Minutes that he has been censored from speaking out. and that he was, quote, absolutely not surprised that Trump was infected by the virus. Now, news has emerged that Trump slammed Fauci as, quote, a disaster on a campaign phone call. Fauci has been rightly warning Trump and the nation that the fall and winter season are likely to be even worse than the earlier part of this year. The CDC has reported that the U.S. has now surpassed 218,000 COVID-related deaths. On Friday, 10 states reported their highest single-day total infections. Trump's government continues to thrive on spreading disinformation. Twitter just removed a tweet by Trump's controversial advisor Scott Atlas that claimed that masks don't work to stop the spread of the virus. A man in Kansas has just been arrested for threatening to kidnap and kill the mayor of Wichita over the city's mask mandate. And a news story by the conservative pro-Trump paper in the New York Post about Joe Biden's son, Hunter, has now been disavowed by several of the paper's own writers. The economic pain of the coronavirus continues as Republican senators refuse to take up a relief bill, choosing instead to cement their conservative supermajority on the Supreme Court. A new report has found that more than 6 million U.S. households missed their rent or mortgage payments in September. And in a victory for the nation's low-income residents, a federal judge just blocked the Trump administration's plan to cut food stamps for 700,000 people. In international news, the MAS party in Bolivia is proclaiming a huge victory for democracy after a landslide win for presidential candidate Luis Arce. Mr. Arce, former finance minister, is an ally of the deposed leftist president Evo Morales, who was removed in a right-wing military coup last year. Victorious voters celebrated as the results came in on Sunday evening. The election had been postponed twice due to the pandemic. Mr. Morales, who remains in exile in Argentina, hailed Arce's victory as, quote, a great triumph of the people and promised to, quote, restore dignity and freedom to the people. The margin of Arce's victory over the post-coup government of interim president Jeanine Añez was high enough to avoid a runoff. According to Associated Press, Añez's government tried to overturn many of Morales's policies and wrench the country away from its leftist alliances. Newly installed electoral authorities barred Morales from running in Sunday's election, even for a seat in Congress. And he faces prosecution on what are seen as trumped-up charges of terrorism if he returns home. And finally, cases of COVID infections worldwide have surpassed 40 million. New virus restrictions are in place in various European nations as a resurgence of infections plagues the continent. In Iran, an early hotspot of the disease, a massive wave of deaths from the virus outpaced the death toll from earlier in the year. The Iranian capital, Tehran, has now run out of hospital beds in its intensive care facilities. Because Iran remains crippled by U.S. sanctions, the nation's leaders say they cannot afford to shut down the economy. However, in China, the virus remains under control, and news reports point to a surging economy. And that does it for our news headlines.